Welcome to First Light Church. Today's sermon is Brief Encounter, Big Change.
Good morning, everybody. Did we have a blessed time worshiping God this morning? Yes? Oh, come on. Can be louder than that. Yes, that's right. We have an awesome God. Did I hear amen?
Amen.
That's right. Come on. We have an awesome God. You know, church, before you put it up, thank you. Any new people here this morning? No one? So, you've been coming regularly. Good. Praise God. I just want to say that, I'm really, really grateful and excited to bring the word this morning. Are you excited to hear the word? Okay. God is in the house. That's right. Okay. My title for this morning, can we have the title? It's not appearing. Okay, my title this morning is Brief Encounter, Big Change. You're going to repeat after me. Brief Encounter, Big Change. I'm going to say that one more time. Brief Encounter, Big Change. If you want to have a big change in your life, I believe you got to say this out convincingly, convictedly. Okay, can we do this again? Brief Encounter. Oh, you guys are not pumped together with me. Come on, Brief Encounter. That's right. Big Change.
Big Change.
Amen. It's not up yet. All right, church. And over the last few weeks, Pastor have been preaching on kingdom and about being a peacemaker and about being true worshipers of Jesus Christ. You know, church, when we worship, you know, I love worship. I really love, not love worship, but I love to worship Jesus because he is so amazing. He is so, so good to us, to me. You see, when we worship, it means that we are affectionately responding to God who made us, who pursued us. Do I hear an amen? God introduces himself to us when we worship. And when we worship, you know, what he does, he says, you know what? You know, when we lift up our hands, you know, the time that we spend here on Sunday mornings, when we come together as the body of Christ, we come and we say that, God, I'm giving my time to you. I worship you. Lord, I don't feel great this week. I don't feel like, I don't even want to come here this morning. I don't even feel like I belong here this morning. But you know, God says, when you lift up and when you can be honest and truthful to him, you know what? He says, I'm here. I'm your Abba Father. I am your creator. I am your, what we sang this morning, I'm your Yahweh. I am Lord. I am in charge of you, says the Lord. And he reveals himself to you. And when he reveals himself to you, you know what happens? Suddenly you actually find out who you are. You're like, oh my God, if he's my father, I'm his daughter. You're his son. You know, he reveals and he shows you your true identity once again. Because sometimes we forget. When things get hard in our lives, when too many things that we need to do, and when we go to work, when we see people, words, exchange, bad exchange, whatever exchange, you know what? It's you know, we get distracted. But when we worship, when we come together again, when we come into his presence, what happens, church? Everything is wiped away. Darkness has to flee. Because when you are in the presence of God, he says that, hey, I'm with you. My joy I give to you, my peace I give to you, my love I give to you. I give you all and everything. And that's why we come on Sunday morning to worship, church, to come together to worship. Not saying that you don't worship any other time of the day. Pastor was teaching us last week that worship is not about just singing. It's just not coming together here on Sunday, but worship is every day. It is a lifestyle. Worship is a lifestyle. The fact that I'm standing here right now, God, I am worshiping you because I'm declaring your word. You know, the fact that you are seated here this morning, you are worshiping God. Every time you turn your attention to him and you say, God, God, I acknowledge you right now. God, I thank you. I give you praise right now. Even in the midst of your workplace, every single area of your life, even if you had a fight with your husband or with your children or anything, and you go like, you know what, God, I'm going to come back to this place. I'm going to come back to this place of worship because he will center me once again. Who I am, he will tell me who I am in Christ. And that makes my day go really well. Amen? Okay. Today I'm going to talk about Jesus and the Samaritan woman. So if you've got your Bible, if you can turn to John chapter 4. Who knows the story? Show of hands. Who knows the story? Yeah, majority of us know the story. Good. So this will be a new revelation for you. I hope and pray. Let us pray. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, that this morning, Lord, that your word will speak to each and every one of us in a very, very unique way and a personal way. Father, Lord, I pray, Lord, that yes, this word, this scripture has been preached so many times, Father, but Lord, I pray for greater insight this morning. Lord, that we walk out of here, Father God, not the same person we walked in. Father God, we want to be history makers. We want to be world changers, Father God. Lord, we want to change atmosphere when we walk into any room, Father God. Lord, because you the Christ, you the Holy Spirit, Lord, living inside of us, Lord. And Lord, we are the carrier of your presence. Lord, we are the carrier of your light. Lord, we are the carrier of your salt. Father God, that wherever we go, wherever we walk, Father God, whatever we do, Lord, we glorify you, that we will be a great witness of who you are. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Okay, are we ready? Yes. All right. Jesus and the Samaritan woman. Okay, what I love about this scripture, I'm not going to go through and read the text first, but I'm going to tell you what I love about this scripture. Can you go into the next slide, please? Thank you. Oh, yeah, I love this story. That's right. Love this story. Why? Because God shows us how to connect and communicate with people. Okay, because if you don't really have a good, know how to social with people or something, that this is the thing. This is here. This is your guide here, how to talk to people. Okay, how to communicate, how to connect. And God shows us about evangelism in this text. And God shows us what he is looking for. He is looking for true worshipers. Are there true worshipers in the house? What does true worshipers actually mean? Worship spirit and truth. We are true worshipers. You know, true worshipers are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Are you sons and daughters of the Most High God in this room? Yes, we are. So we are true worshipers. We are the believers. We are the true worshipers. And God shows us what he's looking for. So thank God he is here and you are here. Amen? All right, the next one. Okay, God tells us how to live and be a true worshiper, which is to worship in spirit and in truth. And God shows us that a brief encounter brings big change. I'm going to say this again. Are you going to say it with me? Brief encounter, big change. God shows us that God shows us that the weak shall inherit the kingdom. Okay? Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the kingdom. Blessed are the weak, they will inherit the kingdom. We're talking also about kingdom worship here. And God shows us that we need to break down walls. That's right. We just cannot sit in our comfort and just, you know, be complacent with where we are at, because God says, you know what, it's time to move on. It's time to go forward. And, you know, not to give reasons for actually moving on, because we are king of giving reasons kings and queens of giving reasons to not move on. God shows us that he was intentional and he's authentic when he met this woman. God shows us here there are vertical worship and horizontal worship. And God shows us the few types of arguments happening in this whole verse. One in verse 9 about race, I'm going to point it out later, and reason in verse 11, and religion. But don't you agree with me that most of the time our arguments are actually based on these things, on race, reason, and religion? And foolish dispute. Can we go to the next slide, please? Thanks. And Titus 3:9 says, avoid foolish disputes, genealogies. Genealogies, that means our ethnicity, our race, our gender, you know, contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Why I'm telling you this is that when we connect with people, when we communicate with people, you know, the first thing we try to reason, we do is we try to reason, we want to argue with them. You know, we want to, in a most subtle way, we want to argue with them and actually say, hey, you know what? I'm right. My race is better than yours. Not with me? Sometimes we do that. Oh, okay. Don't talk about race. Talk about gender. That girl cannot drive properly, huh? That woman, huh? Men are better drivers than women. Excuse me? I'm a good driver. I believe so, even though I was in a car accident. But yes. Ah, God is good. But you know, we always argue about something. There's always we're not happy about. The law says this, and you know, law says that. But you know, we're always wanting to argue about that. But God says don't argue, because Jesus never argued. If you look through the whole Gospels, when the way he talked, he never argued with anybody. He answers them. He answers them respectfully, but never argue with them. He never say, no, I'm he. No, it is written. All right, now we're going to go into the text. It says, therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples. This is already one argument there. They're arguing for no reason. Who baptizing more than who? But actually, Jesus didn't even baptize. It was actually his disciples that was actually baptizing people. So verse 3, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. So this is what happens. The Jewish people will really, really stay away from the Samaritans. Okay, if you look in the geographical, if you look in the map, the Jewish people will always go around Samaria and go to Galilee, but not go through Galilee, although the rightful thing to do is to go through Galilee. But I've been reading some commentaries, Bible commentaries. It actually told us, did I say Samaria? Ah, yeah, Samaria. Have to go through Samaria. Thank you for correcting me, my sister. That's my sister here, coming here to support me. So he had to go through Samaria. And when I was looking at the commentaries to prepare for this message, it says that he had to go. And another translation says, it must need go. He must. He had to. Another commentary actually said that it's because it is directed by God that, you know, he had to go. He had to go through this. He had a purpose. Jesus is the Son of God, and he knew, he's on purpose, that he said, I'm going to meet someone there. I've got a mandate. I've got a purpose. So he had to go through Samaria. So he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar. Sychar, my friends, is a place of drunkenness and falsehood. That's right. Just went blank. Yes, there's a lot of falsehood and drunkenness that's happening in Sychar. Okay, so we don't have the slide. So Jesus was tired, so he stopped at the well, and there he sat down from his journey, and it was about the sixth hour. Sixth hour is afternoon for them. It's noontime, not afternoon. It's noontime. You know, I'm glad that God had to send Jesus to go through Sychar or go through Samaria, because a lot of people would not go through there. And most of us don't even want to go to places to actually speak to people because we're afraid. You know, I'm reminded that, you know, God came to me to save me, to pick me out, to pull me out from a rut, save me out from a pit. And I believe that is how he came to you, to each and every one of you in this room. The fact that you accepted Jesus Christ, the fact that you know God today is because he came to save you. We were all in one pit. We were all stuck somewhere in our lives. We were all either confused, maybe you didn't have a bad past or something like that, but maybe, you know, you were lonely, you were sad, you were miserable, you were confused. But you know what God says? I came for you. I came for you. So the woman of Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Can you imagine? Jesus had 12 disciples and he had to send 12 disciples to get groceries? 12 men to get groceries? It's a bit funny, isn't it? You just had to send one woman to get groceries and they can do it all. There I am telling you about argument, about gender argument. I'm only human. Thank you, Lord. So then the woman said to him, how is that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman. For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. So this is her argument here, the argument that I talked about. She's saying that, hey, first of all, I'm a woman. You don't talk to a woman. A Jewish person, a Jewish man don't actually speak to a woman in public unless they're with a group of people. And what also happens is that, this is back then, I don't know about now. I have to find out about now. And what actually happens is that she's also saying that, hey, we are two different races here. You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. And Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. So Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, and who is it who says to you, give me a drink, you would ask him and he would have given you living water. Wow, isn't that nice? Can you imagine if you are face to face with Jesus right now? Can you imagine having a conversation with him? Church, can you imagine having a conversation with Jesus, our Messiah, the Christ? Can you imagine his face? He's probably tired and he's thirsty. And this woman, we know about this woman, and most of you have read this story. What about this woman that we know? She's a hurting woman. She comes in the afternoon to actually draw water. The reason being is because she is a person of unimportance. She is a person who've been rejected by society. You see, people back then, they wouldn't come out in the noontime to actually draw water because the sun is fiercing hot. They would not come out. They'll come early in the morning or late in the evening, and they'll always go with a group of girls. But she had to come alone. She came alone to this well and sat and draw water. She was thirsty. She was ashamed. She was embarrassed of her life. Have we ever felt like that before? That we are ashamed of the things that we have done? And sometimes we just avoid people because of that. Have you been there? I have. We just want to avoid because, like, it's okay. I don't want to see anyone. And this woman that we know, you know, she had five husbands. Five husbands. I think she could be attractive. Because for a man to actually like a woman, knowing with all her baggages, and will still accept her and love her, I think she's attractive. I think she's barren, or maybe the husband's either divorced or died. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say that, but she was married five times. But can you imagine a heart falling in love and out of love, falling in love and out of love? It is quite tiring and it's quite painful. And you carry that baggage with you. You carry. And the one that she is with right now, she is actually living with someone who's not even her husband. She is feeling really low. And God is saying, Jesus is saying, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew what I could give you, if you knew me, if you know that I am the living God, that to bring you abundant life, to give you hope and not to despair you, you would ask of me that drink. You know, church, just take a second. Who do we know that are hurting in your life right now? Just have a few seconds to think about who is sad, who is insecure, who is lonely, who is down. All of us have someone in our lives. But you know what? No matter how far they are from God, God is never too far to reach them. And we need to see that. As he said, I've come to bring salvation, to give you life. And the woman said to him, which is the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with. And this is another argument that people like to use, is reasoning, is that, you know what, I'm not good enough to go out to speak to people. I'm not good enough to sing. I'm not good enough to preach. That's me. I'm not good enough to do a lot of things. I'm not good enough. And she's saying here, sir, you have nothing to draw with. The well is deep. We reason things a lot. This is our habit. But God, but friends, church, I want to encourage you that we are in Christ. And the Lord says that in Romans 12, 1-2 says that we have to renew our minds daily. And this is how we remember to say that, you know what, God, I can do it. I can do it. I can. Because you can, because you are able. You are more than able to do this. So you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. So this woman, you know what? I think she's being sarcastic in here, because I feel she's saying that, hey, you know, You have nothing to draw with. And the well is deep because people back then, the Samaritans and the Jews, they don't share the same cup or the same drawing pot. Is it a pot? Okay, where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? So she is actually challenging him or being skeptical and say, you think you're greater than the father Jacob who gave us this well that they drank from it himself and his sons and his livestock? You think you are greater? But you know, when someone challenges you like that, it's actually they are searching and they're wanting to know there's something greater than that. The fact that they say it is because, is there something greater? Is there a hope? Is there, if you are greater, that I don't have to come to this well anymore again so that I can live a free life, that I can live, that I don't have to come in the afternoon to draw water from here ever again. This is what she's feeling. And Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman said to him, I'm sure maybe she was feeding water to him and say, you know, sir, give me that water. You know that I may not thirst nor come to draw here anymore. Jesus is revealing himself. He's offering, he's inviting her to have a relationship with him. She is bound by fear, bound by rejections, bound by her past that she cannot seem to receive. She doesn't know how to receive. But yet she said, you know what? I want this water. I want it. Can I? Is there a possibility for me to actually leave all this, that I can have a new life? Is it really? And Jesus said to her, go call your husband. Whoops. She go like, okay, I've just started to open my heart to him. And he just come and said, hey, go call your husband, bring him here. Have you ever felt that, you know, when someone knows your past and someone did something, someone knows about what wrong you've done or your sin or anything, and you know, they and you're just like, okay, how did they know? All right, how did they know? Well, she go like, okay, what do I do? What do I say? And okay, I can't lie. But there is something, there's a reason why she can't lie, because there is so much love oozing out of Jesus Christ sitting at the well that she goes like, you know what? I'm just going to say, I don't have to tell him everything, but I'll just say, hey, you know what? I have no husband. And then you know what Jesus said? Well done! Well done for not lying. Well done. That, in fact, you said is true. Because you know what? You definitely do not have a husband right now. You had five husbands, but the one you're living right now is not your husband. That's what Jesus is saying. But thank God, thank you. Thank you for not lying. Thank you for telling the truth. That's what Jesus is saying. Yeah, well done. You know, when I was young, I remember that we would always say, tell the truth and shame the devil. Something like that. Is that what it is, sis? Yeah, tell the truth and shame the devil. Have you ever heard that? Yes. Okay. That's right. And you know what? I'm so glad. For that very moment, the devil got defeated the moment she told the truth. Amen? Yeah. And you know, and the woman said to him, okay, from there, she go like, okay, now he knows a lot about me. He knows quite a lot about me. Okay, who has actually gone to tell this holy man, all right, about me? And she was in fear and she go like, okay, I'm going to change the topic. You know what, people? I believe that we are very fond of doing this. When someone is speaking to us and speaking truth about us and speaking about spiritual stuff, you know what we do? We turn away. We don't want to listen. We don't want to hear. We change the topic. That's what she is doing. That's what she did. She was changing the topic. She said, see, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worship on this mountain. And this is the other argument that people like to do. Religion, this one. Our fathers worship on this mountain. And you Jews said that in Jerusalem is a place where one ought to worship. So, church, what's happening here is that back then, what the Jews did, they actually destroyed the temple in Mount Gerizim, where in Samaria, where the Samaritans actually went to worship, because they were actually meant because the Jews proclaim and claim that said that, hey, you all have to worship in Jerusalem, not here in Samaria. So they, can you imagine the attention? These two different cities, these two different races, they go like, you know what, you say this and the other person say that. It's almost like us Catholics, Baptists, Methodist churches, Lutheran, whatever churches you can think of, everyone say, nah, this is the way we worship God. No drums, no this, no that, okay? And no, this is how the way we only have pipe organ. I'm not putting anybody down here, okay? Please hear my heart. We're not saying that this is the best way to worship, that is the best way to worship, or this is the right way to worship. We're not saying that. What I'm saying is that, you know, God is asking us to be true worshipers, to just worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's not about location. It's not about denomination. None of that. Because God has come to actually reunite us together to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen? And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither worship on this mountain nor in Jerusalem, but worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is. So now is. Everyone say now is. That's right. Now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, not God is a spirit, but God is spirit. And those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. Amen? The woman said to him, so after hearing this, you know, I believe I'm just feeling her at the moment, because I remember my story when I first accepted Christ. Oh, I accepted Christ when I was 4 years old, but then when I gave my life to Christ again, and you know, I felt Jesus looking me in the eye. You know, I haven't felt someone looked at me with such love in the longest time. And I feel for this woman, because she, that's right, ding, ding. I feel this woman because I felt I led her life for someone, one person, not my husband, not any boyfriends I've ever had, would look at me in the eye and to tell me that I'm beautiful, that I love you no matter what. No matter what your past may look like, I will still love you, still love you. And you know, I think something happened in her heart. I think she was bubbling in the inside, and I felt like she said, you know what? I know of this. I know that Messiah, the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When He comes, He will tell us all things. All things. And you know, there is this excitement. You know what? I'm going to know all things when the Messiah comes. I'm going to know all this. And you know, Jesus normally doesn't actually, if you read in the other parables or the other gospel, He doesn't actually tell so much that, oh, I am He. He doesn't reveal Himself so quickly. But He revealed Himself to this broken woman so quickly. So quickly. And He said to her, what did He say? I who speak to you am He. I think I could see Him smiling. I'm He. I'm here for you. I'm here for the broken. I'm here for the lost. I'm here for your colleagues at work. I'm here for your friends in the university. I'm here for you, for the next person sitting right next to you in this room. Maybe this person is hurting, is even right next to you. Maybe they're hiding behind closed doors. We don't know. We don't know. You may be in Christ, but you also can be hurting. But you know what? Maybe you don't have a revelation of how much the Father loves you. How much God loves you. You know, with that excitement, with that knowing who Jesus is when He revealed Himself, I am He. I skipped a few verses, and verse 28 says, the woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the man, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. What happens here is that she just had an encounter with Jesus. It wasn't a very long encounter, and this is what I mean, brief encounter, but big change. She would walk normally in the afternoon to get water when nobody is around. But because of that, because of this encounter, she said, come. She went to the city and said, come and see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? She went out, guys. She didn't stop. She didn't even think for 1 minute, for 1 second, oh, should I actually go tell someone? Oh, how do I tell Jesus about God? How do I tell Jesus? How do I tell people about Jesus? Yeah, thanks. You know, I met up with my old friend last Saturday, and she told me she just finished her the book of Revelation when she attended the BSF. Anyone attends BS? Is it BSF? Yes, the Bible Study Fellowship. Yeah, and she did the book of Revelation. She finished studying it, and she was like, "Oh, I'm so excited! The world needs to know about Jesus." And I was like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." That's right. She said, you know, I start telling people, the person knocking at my door, you know, trying to sell me things. And I'm like, do you know Jesus? You know, like she's just so quick to tell. And she go like, and I, she said, I may have freaked them out. And I said, I think you have. But I said, let's follow how Jesus did it. You know what Jesus did? He just talked. He just talked to this woman. Sometimes what we need to do is just talk to people and just listen. We have two ears, one mouth. We got to listen. Listen, first and foremost, what God is saying about them. What God has a word for them. Like God had a word for this woman. He revealed what was missing in her life. It looked like he was pointing out her sin. But he did it so graciously that she was like, she didn't feel condemned. When I read it, I didn't feel condemnation, but I felt hope. Because he came to, he didn't just reveal about that part, about the sin. He actually first, he mentioned about how much I can give you. I'm giving you eternal life. I'm giving you living waters. He didn't mention so much about this, and he's offering what he didn't even want to bring that part up, I believe. But you know, but she needed to know, she needed to go like, that's it. This is my time. This is my time. So this woman, so in love with Jesus, had a great encounter, ran to the city, called every people, this place in Sychar where there's drunkenness and there's falsehood, not foolishness, falsehood, ran out to call these people. She didn't call the great men in the city or whatever. I don't know who she called, but I believe when she ran in there, she just grabbed whoever that was there and go, come, you know, come and see this man. And they came. They came because they go like, wow, there must be something about this man, because they see a changed woman. And I believe when we walked out from this church, when I prayed my prayer earlier, that I hope that we walk out different the same way we walked in every time we hear the word, because our mind is being renewed. The way we look at people is going to be different. We're going to see people in the spiritual realm. It's not in the spirit, not looking people at their weaknesses or their downfalls or whatever that has happened in their life. But God, we're going to see, we are on purpose. We have a mandate. The Bible says that, you know what, that we are called to make disciples of all nations. And for the last few weeks, our pastor and we're going through ETI course. If those of you who have not signed up, next time when they have, please do sign up, because it is an amazing course. It teaches and tells you what is God's heart for his people, that we are called to be salt and light. Church, you may be the only living Bible, walking living Bible, that people out there could ever meet. You are the face of Jesus Christ. You are made in his image. So I declare you have the face of Jesus Christ. Do you agree with me? You have the face of Jesus. You are his hands. You are his feet. You are his son. We are his children. What I love about this is that, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word who testified. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. So the people who came accepted Christ, and there were more after that also accepted Christ. Did you see? And many more believed. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Isn't that beautiful? People that you have led to Christ, they're not just hearing, they're just not stagnant in their relationship with God because you've led them to Christ, but they grew. They grew. They know him. They have a personal relationship with God. They have a personal relationship with God. And I have to say, I would like to invite the team up. Church, we may be, maybe some of us are like the Samaritan woman. It doesn't have to be a woman, could be a man. Maybe you are hurting. Maybe you never experienced Christ. Maybe you never seen him face to face. You see, church, when we see God face to face, When we see Him face to face, when we encounter God, we can't keep quiet. I'm going to say that again. When we see God face to face, we can't keep quiet. We can't. We have to run out. We have to run out and just love people. All we need to do sometimes is just switch the light on, because the light is actually always in there. What I meant by that is this. Let me show it to you. I don't know where it's going to go dark. It's getting darker. It's getting darker. Don't fall asleep on me. It's getting dark. But you know, this is what happens when we get busy, when we're tired, when we're weary. But God is saying that, hey, you can dig deep. You can dig deep in the well, because I am the light. I'm going to shine brighter. That one's going darker. I'm going to shine brighter. That's it. I want you to take a moment. Just bow your heads. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit right now. What is the Holy Spirit telling you about this story, about your life, about somebody else's life? You know, I challenged the youth two Fridays ago at TBC, and I said, you know what? We are called to make a difference. We are called to make a change. We're not here just, yeah, I've received the word, I received the word. I hear the word, yes. But we're supposed to apply it. We're supposed to act it out. But I'm asking that you have an encounter with Jesus face to face. Because when you have that, you'll be like that woman. Your life will be changed. That brief encounter, that moment of worship, when you worship Him, your life would change and will change. It is not going to be the same ever again. You know, Pastor told us a story, I think last week. Was it last week or 2 weeks ago? He said that this woman accepted Christ, but she was pregnant. And then the next week she went to church and the church rejected her. For most of you who do not know my story, I've been rejected by churches because of my religion, because of the sinful acts that I've done. I've been rejected by churches. But church, I am so humbled to stand here today and say that sin doesn't have a hold on my life. I'm not going to be moved by what churches or how people have conducted the church. But I'm going to move by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. Because He said He has living waters that He has given to the woman. And church, when you accepted Christ, you were given living waters. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Church, are you with me? Living waters. We got to stir it up. And it has to flow out. It has to flow out. It's not to be kept inside. It's supposed to be bubbling in the inside. So that wherever we go, God sees us. When people see us, they see Jesus. They see light. They see the soul. They'll be so thirsty. They said, you know what? I want something. Because when I hang around you, you know, I'm very, very thirsty. I want to know this Jesus because you're so salty. Don't you want to be salty? I want to be saltier than I am. Go to the beach more. Summer is coming. We need to be salty so people can be thirsty. Yeah. Because they are thirsty people. We're not called. You know, I was listening to a lot of other preachers. They talk about the well. We need to be the well. Hey. We don't need to be that Joseph's well, because you know what? It's a man-made well. I want a well of living waters. I have the living water. Come on. I want all of you all to rise with me. Come stand with me.